Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We are filling in for Freddie and Fitzsimmons. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you're just tuning in, there's breaking news. A new lawsuit alleges that new Sacramento Kings coach Luke Walton sexually assaulted a woman sometime before being named the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in April of 2016. It's a civil suit. And at this point, these are all allegations. Let's head out to the Shell Pennzoil performance line and talk to Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter. Dave, how's it going, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. Now, Dave, what do you know about this story, and what is the latest?
What we know is that the lawsuit was filed today on Monday, and the Kings have said that they're aware of the report and they're gathering information. They didn't make any further comment from there. The NBA has its own investigation, sources tell ESPN, and the Lakers said they were never made aware of this report when they hired Luke Walton to be their head coach, nor did this lawsuit have anything to do with the decision earlier this month for Walton and the Lakers to part ways. Obviously from here, there's all sorts of ways this could go. Luke Walton has not released any sort of statement through himself or through a lawyer. Obviously, if the Kings were to find, validity to the charges that are being made, of course, Luke Walton's job status with the Kings could be called into question.
Dave, what is the precedent for something like this from the league? Because we've had a lot of stories in the National Football League with players and off-the-field incidents, but what about under Silver in the NBA?
It's a great question. To be honest, like this story, just kind of has hit us in the last couple of hours, and I haven't really even considered that. The one that comes to mind with the Lakers, of course, is when Kobe Bryant was accused back in Eagle, Colorado, way back in the early 2000s. Of course, I think we're in a different kind of climate now in this country socially than we were back then, and you wonder how something like that would play out in today's landscape. I'm not so sure, a team would be okay with a player going through a lawsuit like that and flying back and forth to and from games the way that happened back with Kobe Bryant. And so, obviously that was under David Stern as well. But under Adam Silver, in terms of at least high-profile ones, there aren't many that come to mind. I believe, and now because you put me on the spot, I'm blanking on his name. There was a guard who played for both the Celtics and then the Clippers and then the Pistons. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name at the moment, but he had an issue like this where there was a lawsuit and there was no suspension that came from him, and he stayed in the NBA, of course.
You're listening
Avery to Bradley. Avery Bradley's name. Thank you.
Yep. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Emmett Golden, Jonathan Hood, Dave McMenamin is our guest. Dave, we've seen players kind of go through some stuff like this. Yeah, I think of Derrick Rose, in the allegations he was facing earlier. What have we learned from players going through these type of things that might translate to how the NBA handles it with a coach, or do you think it'll be handled completely differently because Luke Walton's a head coach?
I don't think these are apple things, and it's funny, as not funny, but as we are talking this out, of course other incidents have come to mind. We still don't know how the Kristaps Porzingis case is going to play out. I don't think there is necessarily a precedent established by how the league handles these things. I think it's a case-by-case basis. And as in any realm of life, I think it's a tough thing to prove. I've had people ask me tonight, do you think it's true? I have no way to know it's true. I was a guest analyst on Spectrum Sportsnet with Kelly, the woman who's accusing him. I knew her in that capacity, and I've known Luke Walton as a player, as a guest analyst, and as a coach. I've known him in that capacity, but you know, no one really, the only two people would really know the veracity of this claim. And you know, I think that's going to be the task that's now on the Kings and on the NBA, is knowing that only two people can really know the truth, is how can you gather as much information as you can to think that you have a version of the truth that you're comfortable with.
Dave, I guess the question from Sacramento standpoint is, this story comes out, they said they are aware of the story. So I guess you're sticking with your man until you find out on what's going to be on the other side of this. Cause again, this is just a lawsuit, but from Sacramento standpoint, I would imagine you're sticking with them until you find out more information, right?
Yeah, you would think that'd be the way this would go. I mean, this is, to be clear, it's a civil lawsuit. As far as we know, there was not a police report filed at the time of the alleged incident, nor has there one been filed since. And, you know, I think if there was some sort of arrest or something that's already occurred, you may see, you may assume the team would move quicker with a decision. But being that it's a civil lawsuit, I could see this being a longer process.
Hey, Dave, we really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight on such short notice. Thank you.
Of course, you got it, guys.
All right, there he is, Dave McMenamin, ESPN's NBA reporter. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today.
You know, Emmett, as Dave was talking, you know, it is true that there are very few incidents. You mentioned Avery Bradley, and I'm just kind of looking up that story now, and you mentioned Derrick Rose in our conversation that we had with Dave, and you just don't you're not hearing this story very often. As I mentioned, is there a precedent with him? I couldn't think of one. I thought Dave would, as far as someone that's you know, leading an organization, leading a team as a head coach, like Luke Walton, and there really isn't. So the way this materializes with this civil claim, let's keep our eyes on and see how the NBA reacts and how Sacramento reacts to all this this news as we move forward.
Absolutely. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. Coming up next, what does a sweep of the Pistons mean for Giannis and the Bucks? That's coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You wouldn't settle for a 2-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. That call that you just heard was courtesy of WTMJ. And the Bucks advance after a 127-104 victory over the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. And again, like you just heard it, the first time since 01. How dangerous are the Bucks in the East right now?
First of all, before you ask me some benign question about how dangerous the Bucks are, how about we celebrate what the Bucks have done? We have not seen this since the bemused George Karl was on the sidelines for Milwaukee.
Yeah, big dog, right? Wasn't big dog a part of
it? I want to say like that, like a big dog and a Sam Cassell. I'm looking up that season now. But no, let us talk about what they've been able to accomplish. It has been a long time, Emmett Golden. I mean, sure, they have been in the playoffs here and there with Jason Kidd, with Scott Skiles here and there, Terry Stotts. But George Karl was the one that got that team in a good spot. So for the where they are right now, that was 2001. It's 2019, and they were able to win a series. So I just want to make sure that we accentuate how big this is for the city of Milwaukee, state of Wisconsin, that Giannis and the crew was able to get it done, right? So 1-8. How dangerous are they? Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo could easily be the MVP of this league. We always look at James Harden as that guy, but look at Giannis. In a LeBron-less East, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been the guy that's the steady hand in the Eastern Conference with a steady team. My question was coming into Budenholzer coaching this team this season, is this team going to be like that Atlanta team that kind of fizzled out? When remember they were like at 62 wins with Atlanta, and I thought, oh, you know, they fizzled out. So I was thinking, will this be that team? Well, you know what? We're going to find out. I think it's a good team. It's a young team. Now, you take a look at Boston on the other side. I mean, that's a veteran team with solid players, but Giannis is young and upcoming. Middleton, terrific player. They've got a, and what they do is they shoot a lot of threes, and they do a really good job. So Emmett, yes, I think that, I don't know about dangerous, but definitely up and coming for them to be able to accomplish one rung on the ladder.
Absolutely, and they got a huge series coming up next against Boston. Let's hear from Giannis as he spoke with Fox Sports Wisconsin following the victory.
Detroit gave you its best shot in the first and second quarters, and then you and your teammates took it to a completely different level in the second half. What was the difference?
I think we kept our composure the whole game. We played together. We knew that the Pistons were going to come out to play hard and set the tone, because that's what they're supposed to do. It's an elimination game. But we were able to stick together, play hard, and we knew once we get the lead, they're going to fold. And that's what we did.
I know you and your teammates have goals that go well beyond the first round, but this is your first playoff series win. What does that mean to you, and to do it in a sweep?
It feels good. No, it feels good. But we got to, you know, stay grounded on the floor, keep getting better. You know, each series, each game is going to be harder. And we just got to stick together, and hopefully we can advance in the second round.
Boston is waiting for you on the other side. What excites you about that rematch?
It's going to be exciting. You know, we definitely owe them something from last year. We're going to play hard, and it's going to be fun games to watch.
Yeah, it will be some fun games to watch. I'm pretty sure about that.
I'm looking at this team. You are right, sir. We're talking about this is their big three, Milwaukee, back then in 2001. Mm-hmm. This is George Karl's team, also with a young assistant named Terry Stotts that was on this staff as well. Mm-hmm. Ray Allen, Rafer Alston, Skip to My Lou was on this team. Greg Anthony was on this team without the bow tie and the suspenders. Jason Caffey was on this team. Sam
How about
Cassell.
Darvin Ham.
Darvin
Ham. How about Darvin Ham was on Darvin the squad? Ham.
Texas Tech? I love Darvin Ham.
Me too. He broke a backboard in the NCAA tournament. I became his biggest fan that day. That's the only thing I can tell you about Darvin Ham.
Irvin Johnson, not that one. Anthony Mason. Mace, the late Mace, was on this team.
Yeah,
Tim Joel Prisbilla. Michael Redd, what could have been with Michael Redd with the injuries and everything else. Big Dog, Glenn Robinson from Purdue on that team. Tim Thomas on that team as well. That was a well-constructed, solid George Karl team back then. And now they've advanced it. 2019. And maybe, Emmett, the majority of NBA fans cannot embrace this Milwaukee Bucks team. Mm-hmm. But one thing for sure with Giannis Antetokounmpo, you see him everywhere, don't you? Commercials.
Yeah, you do.
You see my, so you can see the league and you see his personality, the broken English and everything else. Mm-hmm. He becomes an endearing figure. The league, the East needed something. And with Kyrie Irving wondering or not whether or not the earth is flat or not, he's hard to embrace, not cuddly. Mm-hmm. But Giannis, though, he's becoming that dude.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it. And look, he's an MVP candidate. You know, and what this makes me think about is I don't believe he's going to win it, because I just think everyone will look at what Harden did from a scoring standpoint all year long and the ridiculous numbers he put up as far as scoring the basketball. I think it's going to be hard for NBA writers and those that vote on the MVP to give it to Giannis, because I think everybody's going to think about Harden. That'll just be more motivation. I almost don't want Giannis to win it. Because then I think you'll see him at his best. You know, hey, I wasn't, you did, look what I did in Milwaukee, the number one seed, and you're not going to give me the MVP. Well, I'll go win a championship. Probably won't, because I'll have to face the Warriors. But,
I didn't say that.
Oh. But I actually like the way all this is kind of unfolding, and it's, the East is wide open for the next guy to take that mantle, and I think that Giannis is that next guy.
Yeah, I appreciate what he's been able to do, and it's just not him. It's Middleton. It's just the way the team goes. See, coming in when Budenholzer took over that job, I said, that ball's going to go up a lot, because it went up a lot when he's with Atlanta. I said, okay, this is a whole different system. There is night and day between Jason Kidd and Mike Budenholzer. Not saying that Jason Kidd can't coach. He'll coach again in this league. The point is, though, is that Budenholzer has a plan, and he understands that putting up as many shots as possible, especially from three, from distance, matters. And I think that the volume of shots that we've seen from Milwaukee has pushed them into a place where they're terrific from a pace standpoint. They get up and down the floor. They do a good job defensively. But I just think that Giannis is just that dude. If I had a vote, I'd vote Giannis because I think that he has done a terrific job holding up an entire conference.
Yeah, yeah.
not Embiid, not Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. not Leonard, not Siakam. I just think that he's that guy, and he's just been more visible, and I think that he's the guy. As you mentioned, he may not win it, but he'd have my vote if I had one.
He'd have my vote as well, because I believe if he took as many shots as James Harden did night after night after night, he'd have the same numbers. And okay. If we've been down this road before, you know how I feel about James Harden.
Along with Paul Pierce, Jonathan Hood with you here on ESPN Radio. As we hit it for Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Hold on. I didn't say I could score. I didn't say I could do it. I was saying somebody else could. So you can't hit me with the Paul Pierce on that one. I didn't say I could do it. I didn't say I deserve to be an MVP.
If I had that many shots, I would be the MVP too. Oh, yeah. Really, Paul Pierce?
Right. Okay. But and I think, you know, obviously they play two different styles, you know, but I just think that Giannis does so much more. And when he steps on the court, I feel like he's trying to win the game. When Harden steps on the court, I feel like he's trying to win the MVP, the regular season MVP. And for that reason, that's why Giannis is the best player, was the best player in the NBA this year. Although the one thing that does kind of bother me, and I'm committing this sin, quote unquote, myself. Russell Westbrook, when he averaged a triple double for the first time in like 1,000 years, and I'm putting sauce on it. That's not accurate, but he won the MVP. He's done it 3 years in a row, so why was it so great the first time, but it's not MVP worthy the next two?
You're right. When you're right, you're right. I don't understand. The numbers are what they are. When you have a triple-double, that still matters. So now it's old hat. Now he could do it all the time. It's the same magic trick. So he does it all the time. So I'll just move on to this next tent. Yeah. That's not right.
No. I guess if every day is a sunny day, what's a sunny day, right? If you average a triple-double multiple years in a row, then it must not be a big deal.
send hello to our listeners in San Diego. It is a sunny day every day in San Diego.
Right, yes. Right. And I don't know this, but I would assume that myself, I live in Cleveland. I think I probably appreciate a sunny day a little more than those in Florida and San Diego. Right? But you know why? Because I see the sun maybe 12 days a year. Right? And wow. It's an event when I see the sun, right? Like, I don't go, nothing's going on today. It's like, you better get your butt outside and soak in some of that vitamin D, you know?
there's sunshine in Cleveland. You just can't see it with all this, you know, the smoke, right. Smoke like, and the...
Like 40 days. I was exaggerating a little bit. It does get some there. Coming up next, are we focusing too much on Russell Westbrook and not what Dame and company is doing? We'll talk to Kevin Calabro, Blazers play-by-play announcer, coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Stretch. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, good job.
Hi there, Julie Foudy here. ESPN was silly enough to give me the green light on a podcast, and it's called Laughter Permitted. We talk to these awesome trailblazers in sports about the joy and chaos of life, such as Kerry Walsh Jennings, Simone Biles, Mia Hamm. So get comfortable listening. Laughter Permitted. And so is Beth Singing. Support for Laughter Permitted comes from Ally. You wouldn't settle for a two-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's Emmett Golden and Jonathan Hood. That last highlight was courtesy of Rip City 620. It's time to head out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and talk to Kevin Calabro. He is the Blazers play-by-play announcer. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for asking. Good to be on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Kevin, what is the biggest difference between this Blazers team right now and the teams we've seen in the previous years?
Well, that's a good question. The teams in the previous years have been swept the last 2 years. They had lost 10 in a row in the playoffs. And, of course, last year it was quite a disappointment being the 3 seed, losing to the 6 seed, the New Orleans Pelicans, who, you know, did a terrific job of double-teaming Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum getting the ball out of their hands and so forth. And the Blazers incapable of stopping Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, they've grown as a defensive basketball team. They've really coalesced, I think, after that experience, going through the indignity of being constantly harangued by all members of the media and fans and so forth for, you know, being a team that was projected to make a nice run last year and then beaten in the first round. But I think because of that, they grew together, more resolved. Damian Lillard, of course, was first-team All-NBA last year, fourth in MVP voting a year ago, had another phenomenal year this year. C.J. McCollum had a great year, and, of course, the Blazers have had a tough year this year. 4 days before the opening of the season, the team owner, Paul Allen, passed away tragically. And then, of course, Yusuf Nurkic went down with that catastrophic knee injury, or actually the broken bones in the leg, you know, about a month or so ago, and left the Blazers scrambling for a bit, but still winning down the stretch and 19-6 since the All-Star break. So, you know, it's a hot basketball team that has suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune. And I think because of it, they've been a tougher, more close knit group. Not that they weren't before, and they're led by a very good coach in Terry Stotts, and a guy that I think is a top five MVP candidate. Maybe not the MVP this year, but certainly you've got to put him in the top five, and Damian Lillard.
Kevin, you've covered so many great moments in this league, and when I see Damian Lillard, he's just a special player that keeps growing year after year. Where do you place his skill set, what he does on the floor, what he does for Portland amongst other guards in the league?
Well, he's got just a terrific ability to get to the rim. He can slash, finishes strong at the rim. He's going to shoot 91% from the free throw line. He's going to get you close to 36, 37% from three. And he and Steph Curry have unlimited range. I mean, he and Steph Curry and Harden, you put them in the same category of guys that are hitting shots consistently over 28 feet. The ability to shoot the three really sets him apart from any guy that I've ever covered. I mean, I'd hesitate really to compare him to anybody. And I've covered Gary Payton. There's no likeness between he and Gary. They're totally different games. And Ray Allen, and there's slight resemblance, I think, with just the shooting ability from three. But this guy he's got a boxer's mentality. He plays extremely well off contact. He is getting 36 minutes a night. He's taking on a tremendous workload. He leads by example. He's great in the community. Just a solid guy. I mean, he is just a unique player. I mean, he is. There's only one Damian Lillard. I'd be hard pressed to compare him really to anybody. He just has a really unique skill set.
This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. Kevin Calabro is our guest. Kevin, has Dame taken this battle with Russ personal?
No, I think Russ has taken the battle with Dame personal. Dame has got a much broader horizon than just a one-on-one battle. His horizon is to win an NBA championship. His horizon is to get this Blazer basketball team in a position where they can win an NBA championship, and that means they've got to win Game 5 tomorrow. So I don't think Dame is the slightest bit worried about Russell Westbrook or the antics of the Thunder. And that was pretty evident after Game 4. The Blazers came out with great resolve. after game three. They came out with great resolve in game four, and they weren't going to go there. And you saw them in the interim really saying nothing to the media, not allowing that to fester, to feed itself, to fuel the fire. There was no back and forth verbally at all. The Blazers really circled the wagons. They got into themselves and got insulated and got resolved for game four, and you saw what happened yesterday. Just a tremendous performance. So I would anticipate the same thing going on tomorrow. You know, Lillard came out in game four and he was 0-for-6, but in that period of time he had 5-6 assists. So he was distributing the ball. He saw that the Blazers needed an infusion of scoring, and so they got it in the final 2 minutes of the second quarter. On an 11-0 run, they took a four-point lead at half and had the momentum going into the third quarter, and that's where he scored 15 points in the third quarter, you know, as he had done previously in game two, where he just lit him up. So, you know, Lillard's just got that ability, I think, to read the situation and do the appropriate thing, and that is to approach this as a team game and not a one-on-one matchup with Westbrook.
Kevin, on the other side with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Emin and I were talking about the Thunder and talking about Russell Westbrook, and I made the comment that I don't see a lot of difference in Westbrook's game or the Thunder with Westbrook having the ball in his hands the lion's share of the time. With Portland, you see the growth. We were just talking about Lillard and seeing how more of a defensive team, more of a team that has Lillard, has McCollum, has offensive weapons. Is there any difference that you see from the Thunder over the last, say, 2 or 3 years to what you see right now with them, especially offensively?
No, I mean, I still think Westbrook dominates the basketball just as he did when he had Kevin Durant there. I think he shares the ball a bit more with Paul George than he did with Kevin Durant. I thought in the last 2016, of course, when they were so close to going to the finals, but lost in the Western Conference Finals, I thought that was at a point where it just seemed as if one or the other had to go. There just wasn't enough usage to go around between those two. You know, Westbrook is just a ball dominant guard. Paul George seems to have thrived on that. I mean, he had a tremendous year this year up until the time that the shoulders flared up. You know, he averaged 38 a game against the Blazers when they swept the Blazers this year in the regular season 4-0. So he's been highly effective. I mean, that's the observation I've had. He's been highly effective with Westbrook. Teamed with Russ, but you know, when you're shooting 65% from the line, as Westbrook did during the regular season, he's been very good at the line, of course, in the postseason. And when he's shooting south of 30% from three, I mean, that's detrimental to his game. So much so that you can see a lot of teams just sagging off of Russ. I mean, you can live with Russell Westbrook shooting 3-point shots in transition as long as you pack the paint, don't allow him to get to the rim where he can then either score or distribute. You're in pretty good shape. You know, he was 0-for-7 in the second half in yesterday's ball game, and it just didn't seem like he wanted to get into the paint at all. So I think that'll be the biggest change for him in game five. I think he's going to put blinders on. I think he's going to dominate the ball. I think he's going to try to get to the rim, maybe to his own detriment and his team's detriment.
Hey, great stuff, Kevin. We really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
All right, fellas. Hope you enjoy the game. Should be a good one.
Yeah. Will do. There he is, Kevin Calabro, Blazers play-by-play announcer there.
Well, there you go, Emmett. I mean, that's all the evidence that you need from a fact and opinion standpoint from Kevin Calabro. I respect his opinion, his work here on ESPN Radio over the years, and now the voice of the Blazers for a while here. The numbers speak for themselves. In this league that we're watching on a nightly basis, if you are not shooting the ball for 35% or more from three, or you're not getting to the foul line or affecting your team in an offensive way, more times than not, it's just not going to work. There's a shelf life on your opportunity to win an NBA championship or go far in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. I mean, and again, this is not dissing Russell Westbrook as much as it is just trying to say that if Russ is not going to change, if this is who he is, shooting under 30% from three, you mentioned the free throw numbers, and I mentioned to you earlier, like, for someone who has the ball in his hands so much, you're not driving to the basket and you only get to the foul line four times at home? That's ridiculous. If you're not going to change, then the results will be the same for Oklahoma City.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. And coming up next, the Warriors continue to prove why it's the Warriors and everyone else. And Kevin Durant says we need him. That's coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
At Delta, we fly to 300 cities around the world. That's 300 cities where everyone does the same things you do. That's 300 cities where people think they're the only ones who know about that one place. 300 cities where people miss someone in one of our other 299 cities. 300 cities where people sing in the car or the shower or both, poorly. And Delta isn't flying to 300 cities merely to bring us together, but to show us we're not that far apart in the first place. Delta, keep climbing.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. And Jonathan, you know, we started off tonight's show talking about what did we learn over the weekend from the NBA playoffs. I think one thing that we didn't have to learn is that the Golden State Warriors are still the best team in the NBA, and it'll probably take them self-destructing to not win another NBA championship.
See, now you're coming around to my way of thinking. I told you, the only team that can beat the Warriors are the Warriors at this point in time. Think about this. Mm-hmm. You have Kevin Durant, you have Klay Thompson, you have Steph Curry, just those three. But then it's just the others that also make a big impact, like Draymond Green and like Livingston and like Jarepko and some of the players on that bench. See, I know that we so focus on the starters, but we also have to take a look at the system. Iguodala be on this team as well. It's a championship pedigree. Every team has their run. And the Golden State Warriors are having their run after all those years of futility. The Gary St. Jean and some of those Don Nelson teams and Mark Montgomery teams. Some thin times. But the fans, that mixture of 49ers and Raiders fans were out there, and they filled that arena every single time, even when they were bad. Mm-hmm. And now for all of the frustration and all of the 17 and 19 win seasons, now Golden State's got something to root for. So here's the thing. I don't have Golden State fatigue. Mm-hmm. The reason why, because it doesn't mean that much to me. I mean, because I'm an adult and I got a mortgage. So I don't waste any time. Right. I don't lose sleep at night wondering who's going to beat the Warriors. I will say this, that at some point their run will end. It will not last forever. And that's the next team, whether it's Houston, whether it's Milwaukee, Boston, those are the teams we got to keep our eyes on to see, okay, well, how can they have sustained success like Golden State? But as far as this team, I mean, again, veteran-laden presence, no one's beating them right now.
Yeah, see, I want them to lose because KD joined them after the Cavs beat them, and I can only imagine how many titles the Cavaliers would have won if it wasn't for Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors.
Kevin Durant can still be with Cleveland. I mean, at the end of the season, who knows where he's going to go?
You know what? That's a good point, because Kevin Durant, as far as he is concerned, he says the media needs him ahead of his 2019 NBA free agency. He said that as he spoke to NBC Sports Bay Area's Logan Murdoch. He says, they need me. If I wasn't a free agent, none of this blank would go on, right? None of this speculation about who I am, what's wrong with my mental, why am I miserable, why ain't I happy with life, nothing. Hood, I think, I don't know if Kevin is aware of this or not, but there are other players in the NBA that if he wasn't around, they'd still talk about. I think Kyrie Irving is a free agent at the end of the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, people would talk about Kyrie. You're always going to talk about LeBron James. Russell Westbrook, we've talked about Russ for almost 3 hours today. So what is Kevin talking about? The media needs him?
I don't understand the heel turn from him. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it.
See, I get it. I totally understand.
But why? What's the point of it?
This is why he went heel, right? Because he thought to himself, if I don't win a championship, I'll never be regarded as the best player in the NBA.
He did, and he's still not happy.
Well, this is the thing. He went to the Warriors, and no one respected the move.
Well, then, you know what?
And everybody said, man, look, LeBron didn't have to join, you know, the teams that beat him in the finals in order to win a championship. So nobody respects it, and he's mad at that.
No, LeBron had to construct one.
Hey, different strokes for different folks. He didn't join a 72-win team, though.
Thank you, Unc. Thank you very much. Different stroke, but different folk. Thank you very much, Uncle.
Listen, all I'm saying is the Cavs were a lottery team before LeBron James joined them. The Warriors set a record for most wins in the history of the NBA in a single season.
You know what? Even if he did not come to a team that was beating him like a drum when he's Oklahoma City, if he wins a championship in Orlando, he'd still be mad. He's trying to find a reason why to be angry, which I just don't understand. I don't understand the point of it. Like, he's so concerned, and this is so millennial, so concerned about what a Twitter egg says instead of just focusing on you.
He's been the Twitter egg, too. That's when I knew he was washed. Because I'm like, come on, bro. You have a burner account? You have a burner account? Like, I mean, look, I've never, believe it or not, I've never been a millionaire. I don't know the problems that they have. But if I did have as much money as Kevin Durant, I wouldn't be worried about pretending to be somebody else to have my own back. I just have my own back.
I have my own back.
Right. he had to fake somebody to have, he had to have his own back under an alias.
You know
what?
That's
wild.
That's for someone that's in the spotlight who is revered as being, if not the top, one of the top basketball players in the NBA, that's a lonely existence when you got to do that.
It's like a rapper having his own, being his own hype man. Could you imagine that? And his own DJ. Like, come on, man. Like, let somebody else do that stuff. And they're just people on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. But I knew he was
in
his
feelings.
Wait a minute.
Hold on a second. I know who that is.
Who's that?
You said like a rapper that his own hype band? Isn't that DJ Khaled?
Yeah, babe, but I don't consider him a rapper. He just is a hype man. You know, that's what he is. He made a career off of being a hype man, and I have to respect his hustle because Flavor Flav did it first, right?
Yeah,
he just remixed it. He said, okay, I'm going to learn from Flav, and I'll just jump on everybody else's song, and yeah, we the best, and it sounds like a winner to me, and he built an empire off of it.
Man, Emmett Golden, I just will not understand this. I think rather than be my own Twitter egg and be my own hype man, I would find companionship. I would find video games. I would find cars. I'd find other things to do than to be concerned with what Twitter eggs say about me, because he's walking into Springfield as a champion and as a Hall of Famer. If he walked away from the game today, dude is going to be a Hall of Famer, and even at the Hall of Fame, he won't be happy. Multiple-time champion, MVP, all that stuff, and he just comes across as a brooding athlete, so worried about what the press says. All the press is trying to do is talk about, like, okay, so you are a free agent coming up. At the beginning, you say, I'm not going to talk about free agency until after the year, and you can squash it. But you love the drama. Hey, we know dudes that just love the drama. They're attracted to it. I stay away from them, and I'm trying to stay away from Kevin Durant, because if we were friends, I don't know how long we'd be friends, because he'd want the attention so much. He'd want to have that drama so much, and there's really no reason. Things are working out well. You have a chance to win another championship, and he's still worried about how the press needs him. Dude, please.
He's another one. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitz on ESPN. Freddie and Fitzsimmons, excuse me, on ESPN Radio. I think I may try the burner account. I'm thinking like FGoldie81. Do you think people would know that was me?
Yes. You know? Yes, because of your ridiculous stuff that you already have on your main account. If they see someone else is equally as ridiculous, yeah, they know it's you.
And I'll just tweet how great, you know, Emmett is, and like, leave his bald spots alone, you know, do like that type of stuff. Yeah, I think I'm going to give that a shot.
Cleveland's the best. I love Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know who's the best in Cleveland? It's Emmett Golden. I think I'm going to give that a shot, because it worked. Evidently, it worked for Kevin Durant. Do you think he has a new burner account?
Of course he does. Of course he does.
He made another one. There's no doubt about that. Coming up next, the Kings
another
have
one.
A very interesting issue on their hands with their new head coach. How should they handle this latest Luke Walton news? We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Another one.
The new State Farm Drive Safe and Save app could get you a discount up to 30% for good driving. But this State Farm radio ad gets you 100% discount on this classic.
If I could drive safe and save with higher rates, pass me by.
Get a discount up to 30% with Drive Safe and Save.
Just save some tonight.
Discounts may vary. Not available in all states.